can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Thursday. What do we do? Appreciate you listening. Coming up tomorrow on the program, another, as you might expect, jam-packed show. We're set to be joined by the newly elected Senator April Weaver, but also our Friday regular State Senator Chris Elliott, and from Alabama Today, April Marie Fogle, and probably another guest to be named later to be determined. So make sure you tune in tomorrow on the program. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, had a certainly historic win on Tuesday night, but is now a member of the Alabama legislature. State Representative Kenneth Pascal joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Jeff. I'm just delighted to be on your show and look forward to having a dialogue for your listeners.
Hey, we appreciate you making time for us. Well, let's start out there. Certainly a big win for you on Tuesday night. Now, I don't think that was much of a shock. Is that that is a very Republican-leaning district. That's where, for the listeners here, that's where I grew up. My mom still lives there in Pelham. But you really, I guess, kind of set this all in motion. You had a very crowded primary. Then you go on to win the runoff. And now here you are today, sworn in as a member of the legislature yesterday.
Yes. It's a lot of hard work the last 7 months. And as you mentioned, it started out with a crowded primary race, five candidates, all good candidates, and the Lord blessed me getting the runoff, and we worked hard and won that, and we could continue to work hard on Tuesday night. The voters in Shelby County here, they put their faith and trust in me, and I'm excited to represent them for the next 18 months here to fill the vacancy of the seat that Matt Friday held. And so we're really excited. And just ready to go to work. That's all we did. I was swearing in yesterday, so I'm actually on my way to Montgomery, and I'm ready to work.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, Matt Friday going on to be on the Court of Civil Appeals, but just talking to folks, you really padded some shoe leather this special election cycle, knocking on a lot of different doors, going door to door, like it really was a very ground level campaign for you these last few months.
Yes, it was. We had a grassroots team put together, and when I won a primary, and when I got in the runoff, there was a couple articles about the historic nature of this race, which I was not unaware of, and as many may be aware now. Tuesday night, the voters elected me to be the first black Republican in the legislature since the Reconstruction about 140, maybe 145 years ago.
How important is that? I don't, so sometimes we overplay these things, or sometimes we don't play them up enough, but I don't know, how do you feel about that personally? Being made such a big a discussion topic.
Well, I think it is a discussion topic, but I think we have to be careful how we have what we incorporate during the discussion. We do want to acknowledge the historic nature of it, how it is very important. But at the same time, I always immediately redirect people's attention to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I Have a Dream speech in 1963 when he said, I look to the day when we would not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the contents of our character. And Tuesday, the voters in Shelby County made his dream come true, because they did not cast their vote for me because of the color of my skin. I think they solely based their vote on my character, on my, what I believe in. Our campaign message was simple: God and country. I'm a God-fearing man with integrity, with 21 years of military service, and I've been invested the last 11 years in Montgomery as a private citizen and working on co-family legislation. So the citizens wanted someone that they could believe in, trust, and knew know that they're going to work hard for the people in the district. And so, I don't think we can downplay the significance of this election being the first black Republican elected to the legislature for over 100 years. I don't think we can downplay that. But at the same time, we can capitalize as what this means moving forward. I think this is going to open the door for the Republican Party, showing that the Republican Party accepts what is this fall, regardless of the color. We just want qualified candidates, qualified leaders to represent the people in our district and state.
We're joined by State Representative Kenneth Pascal here on the program. Representative, let's move on to, I guess, the topics of discussion. Now that you're going to be in the legislature, I'll start out here. What were you hearing from folks telling them that you're running for this spot in state government? And I know that oftentimes national politics dominates our discussion, but what were you hearing on the campaign trail? What were the concerns? I mean, obviously prisons, gambling, those seem to be the hot buttons of the day, COVID-19 also as well. But you heard from these guys. You have a good a view of what people are concerned about. What were you hearing there through the campaign?
You're right about the national issues. We have a major issue right now from a national standpoint. And one of the things I try to share with our voters is, I believe in the Lord. I believe in our country, meaning our Constitution. And I think we have shifted from that. And so I try to redirect their attention, let them know we do have a force of a shield to address with our national issues. And that's going back to our Constitution, particularly our 10th Amendment. And so that states' right. I don't believe the federal government has the authority that sometimes they head down unless the states shift from our Constitution. That's one part of the conversation we had on the campaign trail. Get back to our Constitution, make sure we take the 10th Amendment off the bookshelf and use it. And as a elected official, I have a sworn duty to do that. But for local district issues, number one was our infrastructure roads. Shelby County, we're growing. Our population is growing. Our businesses is growing, expanding, and that's great. But our infrastructure is not keeping up. So in every city, whether I was in Alabaster, Pelham, Helena, Montebello, Chelsea on County Road 11, the major concern for not just our citizens, but the leaders also, is our infrastructure roads. And so I told them I would definitely make that my priority, because it's their priority, as far as making sure we have a balance. And I definitely serve as a liaison, make sure we get assist with that, whether with our doc, talking to our commissioners. I think I have the leadership skills to help bridge that gap with some of the red tape they may be facing with. But the roads is number one, and then education. I think we're doing good in Shelby County with our education system, but some of the teachers, they do have a concern about the Tier 2 retirement, which I think is about 5 years ago. The legislators went in and modified that. I think we definitely have to look at that for trying to recruit younger teachers, but the Tier 2 is hurting the recruitment. And also with the education is, a lot of citizens, parents, and educators, we should look at more focus on trade, workforce development. We do a great job promoting college and military, but college not for everyone, military not for everyone, but work is. So we got to look at our skill sets. I think we've created a gap with that. And so those are just a few other things that citizens, the voters was sharing, here's our concerns. And I challenge them to tell me their issues. A lot of times they will ask my position issues. And I will share that. I told them I will share it. That's not the priority. Priority number one is what what is the voters' issues and concerns. We got to put the power back in. We got to give the power back to the people. Oftentimes, the people give the power to elected officials.
And this isn't necessarily something for our listening audience, but growing up there in Pelham and knowing full well of how much of a struggle the infrastructure has been over the years, I guess just recently, here in the last couple of years, Interstate 65 has been expanded to six lanes down to Alabaster, and I assume it's going to be even further sometime soon. But also some of those roads around there, that area has been growing for the last 30, 40 years, and it oftentimes, ALDOT, they turned a blind eye to it. They never really upgraded the roads. I think Highway's 261 there into Helena is two-lane. They've been talking about four-lane it all my life. Here I am in my 40s, and I went to high school there, and it's still just two-lane road, and I know that supposedly that is a project that's finally in the works, but, are you thinking that that's going to be at the place where you're going to have to spend a lot of your time is dealing with ALDOT, dealing with John Cooper, and making sure that your district gets kind of its part of, like, any of the Rebuild Alabama Act funding?
Well, yeah, as I said, that's the number one issue from the people. So that is that makes it my number one priority as far as being that liaison in between the cities, the county, ALDOT. You mentioned 261. I just had a meeting with the mayor about a week and a half ago. And 261, it's going to be, we should see some movement hopefully soon on 261, also in Alabaster and 118. Hopefully we see some movement on 118 there around September. But one of the things I share with our leaders, I'll definitely stay engaged with them, do a follow-up quarterly, and we should see some movement. If not, that's where I will actually try to utilize my access and try to get some answers. But our leaders, they're really excited about, we're all on the same page. We have to do something about our roads infrastructure, and just talking about it is not good enough. We got to see action, and our voters want to see action.
Yeah, I find that to be the case. Other things, have you given much thought to the other issues of the day? Obviously, you got to be dealing with some special sessions coming up, I suspect. Certainly will with reapportionment, but I know this is like putting the cart way before the horse here. But, then there's the ongoing prison discussions. Have you really had much time to think about these topics or even gaming? Have they come up on your radar much?
Well, yes, one thing, I've just been engaging the citizens, getting their thoughts and feedback, in order to measure the temperature, particularly with the lottery, casino. And the main question I'm engaging with the voters with, not whether they will vote yes or no, but should they be allowed the option to even vote over the gambling? And so far, the feedback majority is, the citizens should be allowed to vote on the lottery bill, yes or no. So it was not saying which direction they're going to vote. It was saying, so do you feel you should have the opportunity in November 2022 to vote on the lottery bill? And the consensus so far is yes. And the reason I'm engaging the citizens, because that is a hot topic. I'm going to have to, that's probably the first thing in the record session. Well, one of the first few things we look at probably January is the lottery bill, and so I want to make sure I put myself in the best position to be the voice for the people.
Well, Representative, we certainly do appreciate your time this morning. Certainly congratulations on such a historic win. I know it's still good. It's getting a lot of national press today. I see it in a lot of national publications, but it's certainly not insignificant, and we wish the best of luck to you here in the future.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate it, and thank you for allowing me to talk to you and your listeners this morning.
Yeah, and safe travels to Montgomery, and hopefully we can talk again real soon.
Yeah, sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was State Representative Kenneth Pascal, just elected on Tuesday night to the Alabama legislature. like I said, a historic run for him. But looking to see what the future holds in store for him. We have also who won on Tuesday night, a new state senator taking the seat of Cam Ward, tentatively scheduled, or will have her scheduled for tomorrow, April Weaver, a new face in the Alabama Senate. We'll hear from her. Her district includes Bibb County, Shelby County. But a lot going on in that part of the state, and very relatively young delegation for Shelby County. A lot of departures there, and a lot of new faces. Russell Bedsall, as we mentioned earlier, but as well as now Kenda Pascal and April Weaver. Wonder what that means for the future there. But we'll keep an eye on that. Let's get through some text real quick before we go to a break here. Unnamed texter Mo Brooks has already been here last month speaking to Republican women's groups. Yeah, you know, Congressman Brooks, he needs to expand his name ID statewide. That he has ran twice statewide, Lieutenant Governor in 06, and then again in 2017, as we all remember, in that special election for U.S. Senate. Didn't do terribly well down this way. Well, he tried to broaden his support statewide. I'm sure it's true in other parts of the state as well as here, but that remains to be seen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.